Hey everybody, my name is Scott, and this is Food for Thought for 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. Last time we talked, we kind of hit on the fact that Peter really wanted the people to make their calling and their election sure. And he wanted to do that by reminding them or recalling to mind, quote-unquote, these things about Jesus, truth about the gospel. They've been forgiven and cleansed of their sins. And this time, what we're going to see in this focal passage is that, Peter wants to defend and talk about these things, the claims that he's making. He wants to talk about that. And so, for some context, he mentions myths and also like eyewitness testimony in some way. And so back in the day, myths, those things, kind of like we think about them maybe today, they were largely thought of as sort of made-up stories. They weren't things to be believed. And eyewitness testimony, probably more so than today, was relied upon as safe and secure testimony, as legitimizing something. And so what Peter is kind of saying in the opening of this focal passage is that these things that Peter wants to recall to their mind, it's not made-up stuff. It's legitimate, real things that they have been witnesses to. Also, he alludes to the transfiguration, where a handful of the disciples got to see Jesus revealed in fullness of glory in some way on the mountain. You can read about this Mark 9, 2 through 13. Jesus was revealed in his glory, and Peter kind of alludes to that here in this particular passage. And it really confirmed the fact that, man, this is the Son of God. This was someone with whom God was well pleased. So it was confirmed by God and confirmed by the prophets, Moses and Elijah, who were with them there. And then lastly, there's this kind of bit referencing the morning star, which would have been Venus, actually. It would have been the planet Venus that signified a new dawn, the beginning of a new day. And so when it references the morning star, it's actually a specific thing that it's talking about. And in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, lots of times that particular new dawn or the arriving of a morning star could signify the fact that there was a messianic arrival happening, so that the Savior was coming. So it's a new dawn, the morning star literally, but it's being used in a figurative sense here in the fact that, hey, Jesus is showing up. So that's just some context for this particular passage. In terms of content, the power and the coming of Jesus is confirmed here. That's one of the big takeaways from this paragraph that we have in these few verses. So the power and the coming of Jesus is a confirmed, true, real thing. One of the commands that we're given, maybe the only specific command that we have in here, I could be wrong there, but the one that at least stuck out to me was the fact that he calls us to pay attention. That we have the prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So we are to pay attention to the words of Scripture, God's words fulfilled in the life and the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, the person and work of Christ. And so that is, those words are like a lamp shining in a dark place, and we're waiting for the day to dawn when the morning star rises in our hearts. In other words, man, that we are going to see clearly and fully the arrival of Jesus at some point. And that is going to be something even bigger and better. We're not going to need lamps in the dark because the sun is going to rise. Pun very much intended there. So that is something. And also, man, our hope in God's word as it relates to prophecy specifically, because it's the word he uses here. There's a few things that seem to kind of pull out of this particular passage around what prophecy is or what kind of validates it in some way. First of all, it's real life. It's based on eyewitness testimony, at least the kind of stuff that he's talking about here. Prophecy, it comes to pass. What is said actually occurs down the road. It's verifiable in some way. And certainly the eyewitness accounts of Peter himself and many others of Jesus and his resurrection is a very real thing. Secondly, prophecy, anything, any word that comes from the Lord is something that's going to glorify Jesus. It's not going to glorify other people. It's going to glorify Christ and stir worship for him. And then thirdly, the prophecy that's kind of talked about, the words that we should hang on are going to be confirmed or fulfilled scriptures, right? So we're going to be able to look at the scripture and whatever it is that maybe someone said is going to come to pass or going to happen, that's going to come from the scriptures. And whatever the scripture says, that's going to be fulfilled. He literally says that that we have ourselves a prophetic word more fully confirmed. And that confirmation comes from Christ, that all the yeses or all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. So just some notes about prophecy there. It's real life stuff. Things come to pass. It glorifies Jesus, not other people. And they are things that are confirmed or fulfilled in Scripture. They don't contradict Scripture in the very least. So that's just some content pulled out from this one little paragraph. Questions that we could ask around some of this. First, how do you know that any of this is true? And by any of this, I mean like the claims that we make every single week on Sunday morning or as a church. How do you know that your faith is real, that the scriptures are true, all of that? Do you have doubts? Do you have questions? That's a real thing that Peter is hitting on here in this passage, is that no, we are not making up stuff and we're not following things that other people have made up. This is true stuff, but the reality is lots of people have doubts. And so how do we know that this is actually legitimate, that our faith is solid and real? And to be clear, like it's this space, the church and your group should be a space where doubts are welcomed, where people can have questions, where people can disagree about things. The moment that a church or a group becomes unhealthy or unwelcoming to questions or doubts, man, that's the moment that we just throw in the towel on discipleship, that non-believers aren't welcome, that new believers aren't welcome, that even folks who've been walking with the Lord for a long time who still have questions and doubts and all those things, that they are not welcome here, that as if the Lord can't handle listening to them or we can't either. And that's just not the case. We actually get to meet people in their doubts and their questions, sit alongside them and help them grow and learn and know that their faith, their hope doesn't rest in them having all the answers and knowing all the right responses to all the right questions, but rather their faith, their hope rests in Jesus. So how do you know any of this is true? That's one question. Secondly, how do you know if someone is speaking prophetically or not, or speaking according to the Spirit or not? Is it seeming, how do you know if someone is speaking just according to their own interpretation or their own will versus speaking the words of the Lord? And this might apply to people that, I don't know, that you know who might speak as if they are prophesying in some way. Or it could just be, man, like, well, God says this in the Bible, or Jesus says this, or, well, God doesn't really do that. Those are all claims, truth claims, that would basically say, this is what the Lord is like. This is what he's done. This is what he said is true. How do you actually know if someone is speaking truth or not? How do you discern whether or not that is actually a word or the intention of the Lord? And for folks, is prophecy a lamp to you today? That's another question. Does it serve as light in darkness? Do all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, his coming, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his future coming in glory, do those things serve as a light to you in dark places right now? Do you rest in the power and in the coming of Jesus? How much attention do you pay to prophecy in the scriptures? And you know, we're not a church that rests in like Old Testament stuff and trying to predict what's happening and look, you know, calculating dates and all that stuff. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that God is faithful and true to his word, that what he's promised, what he said he's going to bring about, that's actually going to happen. How much does that, God's faithfulness to his word and fulfilling what he said he was going to do, especially in Christ, man, is that something that we look to as an encouragement to our soul, that his power is real and that his coming is confirmed? Is that a balm to our wounds and our suffering and our soul right now? Is the coming of Jesus something that we even anticipate? Is it something that we look forward to? Is it something that we kind of avoid because it seems like lots of people get worked up over all sorts of things around that and it's not really helpful? Or is it something that, I don't know, maybe we almost cling to that as a way of escape versus how does that transform the way that we live our lives as disciples today in freedom, empowered by the gospel? So those are some things to just some questions to kick around for you, for your group, might spark some other questions too. Lastly, man, as disciples shaped by Christ, we get to pay attention to the prophetic word as a source of light in darkness that finds hope in the power and in the coming of Jesus. As disciples, we get to pay attention to the scriptures. We get to pay attention to God's word, not out of fear or condemnation, but out of hope. It's light for us in darkness. When many, many things are uncertain, there are things that we know that are true, and we get to go to the scriptures to see those very true things. We get to make it known, like Peter's trying to do for us. We get to make known this prophetic word to one another and to the people that are around us, to our neighbors. And lastly, we get to give honor and glory to Jesus because of that. That's exactly what the prophetic word is meant to do, is to worship the Lord, stir our hearts towards giving him praise. So as disciples shaped by Christ, I mean, we get to pay attention to the word because it's good news for us. It's light in darkness. We get to make it known, just like Peter wants to make it known to us. And then lastly, we get to give honor and glory to Jesus because of those things. So that's it for today. Hopefully that's helpful, guys. See you next time.